Well, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to this message. I wish you could join us for it. This is our Sunday morning message, our 10 o'clock message, our live stream message. But I also wanted to record it in case you couldn't get the live stream, in case you couldn't be here for the morning message. You can hear this also. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1 is where we'll start reading. I've got a couple of verses to read here, and then we will look at this passage together. 1 Kings chapter 17, look with me at verse number 1, and Elijah. What a man, Elijah. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Turn over one chapter, chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18. Look with me down to verse number 36. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, the Bible says this, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And listen to James chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah, Elias, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Our gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these passages of Scripture that we are able to read this morning. Lord, I pray your blessing on the reading of Scripture. And Lord, now I pray that you would give me freedom and liberty once again to preach your word. Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak truly through me, and we'll thank you for it. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen. There are three kinds of people in this world. There are those who make things happen. There are those who watch things happen. And there are those who sit back and wonder, man, what just happened? Elijah was a man who made things happen. The prophet's shadow looms large across the pages of Scripture. Elijah steps onto the stage of history as a defiant rebel, proclaiming truth to power. Years later, his ministry ends with a fiery chariot ride to heaven. But his legacy continued. Elisha picked up the mantle, and with it, the spirit of Elijah. Other Hebrew prophets would be measured by Elijah's standard. Malachi ends with this promise. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. The New Testament begins with the birth of one like Elijah. It is Elijah who stands witness with Moses on the mountain of transfiguration, as the Father says of Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Make no mistake about it, Elijah made things happen. Rain stopped. A widow is miraculously fed. Her son is restored to life. Elijah later challenges the prophets of Ahab and Jezebel. The pretenders call for Baal to send his fire and nothing happens. They try again and again and again and still nothing happens until Elijah finally says, enough is enough. The prophet of the Most High orders water to be poured on his altar. Not enough. Do it again and again and again. The water begins to flow over the offering, down through the wood, across the altar, and fills the trenches. Then Elijah cries out to the God of heaven, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God." Elijah prayed and things happened. Fire falls from heaven, the wood, the offering, the stones. The altar itself and the prophets of Baal are consumed. When Elijah prayed, things happened. Clouds formed, the sky darkened, rain fell for the first time in 3 years, but not everything that happened in Elijah's life was good. Elijah becomes a hunted man. He hides. God appeared, and the Lord God of heaven provides bread for his body and steel for his soul. The Almighty reveals himself in a still, small voice. Emboldened, Elijah returns to the battle. Renewed, the prophet Elijah begins to expose sin. He announces God's righteousness. Armies march, kingdoms clash, judgment falls. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Elijah made things happen. Elijah may have made things happen, but he was no superhero. The Bible says Elijah was a Tishbite from Gilead. Tishba was a small village in the mountain country east of Israel. Elijah was a simple man. He was a rough man. He was an uneducated man, much different than the sophisticated cosmopolitan advisors to Ahab and Jezebel. He was most likely a shepherd minding his own business with no desire to get involved in politics or the social issues of his day. Elijah is a study in contrast. Despite powerful demonstration of God's provision, Elijah wavered. He could pray down fire. He could outrun the king's chariot. He could command the power of life and death. But when it is his face that Jezebel wanted on her platter, he runs for his life. He hides. His prayers turn to whimpers. "Lord, I've had enough. Take my life." He cries out to God, "I'm the only one left who is faithful." That was no superhero sitting under the tree in the middle of the desert. He was one lonely, desperate, timid, not so mighty man of God. Don't be too hard on Elijah. Depending on your perspective, the days of Elijah were either the best of times or the worst of times. Israel was at the top of her game. The economy was booming. Her armies were being feared. Peace and security abounded. But beneath the prosperous facade, moral rot and decay had spread its slimy tentacles from Ahab's palace to the poorest village in the kingdom. 1 Kings records Ahab's legacy. And in the 30th and the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. A few chapters later, in 1 Kings chapter 21, it carries this epitaph, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." There was only a remnant that refused to bow the knee to Baal. Most worshipped at the altar of whatever God promised the most and demanded the least. Prophets preached what people wanted to hear. and evil spread. Hearts grew cold. Multitudes abandoned God. It was not easy preaching in those days. In the days of Elijah, it was hard to preach because people had ears that wanted to be tickled. They didn't want to hear truth. But Elijah made things happen. Elijah prayed. Elijah proclaimed the power of God. Things happened. God showed up. Wicked thrones toppled. Good kings replaced bad. Showers of blessing began to fall, just tiny drops at first, but eventually revival flooded across Israel. But that was then. This is now. There's an Irish songwriter whose chorus provides for us this morning a needed reminder. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are the days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Let me ask you, for Bible Baptist Church, could these be the days of Elijah? It's hard to recognize our own times. They're all we know. We live in times of accelerating change. Any weekday edition of the New York Times contains more information than the average man 400 years ago digested in a whole lifetime. Your digital watch generates more computing power than existed in the entire world 50 years ago. The car you drove to get here contains more powerful computers than the Apollo 11 spacecraft that carried Neil Armstrong to the moon. What's more astounding, this information explosion has barely begun. We've witnessed unbelievable change in our lifetime. We've seen cell phones replace party lines. I remember my dad offering me a quarter and saying to me as I went out in the evening to make sure I used that before the phone call was free. And for some of you, you have no idea what that means. Palm Pilots have taken over for carbon paper and manual typewriters. Some of us have never figured out how to make our VCR stop flashing 12 o'clock before we no longer have VCRs. And I'm here to tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. 25 years from now, our children will look at today and the technology that's ours as we look at pilgrims at Plymouth Rock. I'm here to tell you we're living in amazing times. These are the days of Elijah. Technology has opened doors for the gospel at unprecedented rates. Freedom is spreading around the world. Prosperity's march seems unrelenting. I believe these are the days of Elijah. Are these the best of times or the worst of times? Here to tell you, not all change is good. In the high school drama called Green Pastures, that's not Green Acres, but Green Pastures, in the classic play, poor people from the deep south of 100 years ago tell Bible stories and dream of heaven filled with cornbread and catfish dinners. In one scene, the angel Gabriel reports on how things are going down below. And I love how he concludes, God, you know that earth you made? It was so fine. You called it very good. Well, Lord, I have to ask you, do you know what's happening down there right now? Why, Lord, everything not nailed down is coming up loose. One pastor offered an apt description of the modern days of Elijah. We have taller buildings, and shorter tempers. Wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints. We spend more, but have less. We buy more, but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences, yet less time. We have more degrees, but less sense. More knowledge, but less judgment. More experts, yet more problems. We have multiplied our possessions and reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and lie too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, not life to years. We've conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We've become long on quantity, but short on quality. These are the times of tall men and short character, steep profits, shallow relationships. Indeed, these are the times. I'm here to tell you today, I've got some good news. These are the days of Elijah. 15 years ago, I stepped behind this pulpit as your pastor. Now for you, things will change. But I believe that this is the beginning of what could be the next great revival. Because I believe for Bible Baptist Church, these are the days of Elijah. The days of Elijah call for men and women of faith and courage. And I believe this church has it. These are not the days for the tentative. These are not the days for the timid. These days call for men and for women who refuse to stop believing, growing, and serving in the days of Christ. The days of Elijah require those who will stand for truth, those who will live the truth and preach the truth without compromise. These days call for pastors and teachers and missionaries and Christian workers and lay people who will pray hard, live strong, and stand tall. These are the days that will call for your best, because I believe the days of Elijah call for men and women who will make things happen. I've shared this before and I'll share it again. Missionary pioneer David Livingstone forged the first path for the gospel into Africa. He went alone. Eventually, his missions committee wrote saying, "Some people would like to join you." What's the easiest road to get to where you are? David Livingstone replied, "If you're looking for the easiest road, tell them to stay home." I want people who will come even if there's no road. Other may fear that the task before us is too daunting. The Bible says, and I love it, James chapter 5, verse 17, that Elijah was a man just like you and I. But Elijah made things happen. Bible Baptist Church, these are the days of Elijah. The day has finally come. And if you will let it, with the change that's here, with the change that God is asking you to do, with what it is that God wants, because He doesn't bring change just because. He doesn't bring change because He wants to punish you. He doesn't bring change because He wants to rip from you something that you so desperately need. He brings change because He wants you to be different than what you are now. He brings change because He wants to give to you something that you desperately need. He brings change so that you will learn to rely upon Him and follow Him and do what He wants. I believe for Bible Baptist Church, if you will let it today, I believe going forward that the days of Elijah are here and the revival can begin if you will let it today. Will you let it today? Do you believe today are the days of Elijah? The pastor, no. I'm here to tell you it's not about me and it's not about you, it's about Him. It always has been and it always will be. It's about His Word and what His Word says. If you will submit to it, if you will stand on it, if you will live by it, if you will memorize it, if you will meditate on it, if you will take it and make it your manual for life, if you will follow God where He leads and do whatever He says, the days of Elijah are here. Do you believe it this morning? I believe God has great things for this church because there's great people in this church that I believe love God and just want God to use them. They're willing. You're willing. And this change is the process that God's going to use, I believe. If you will let it, if you will accept it, if you will grow by it and allow it to change you, it will bring about great revival in your life. These are the days of Elijah. Let the revival begin. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray for these people. Lord, you know how much I love them. Lord, they become family to me. Lord, I want what you want for them. That's why I need to leave. I believe you have something in store for me in Arizona. And Lord, I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited about that because that's where you have called me. But for these people who are here, who are about to go through some change, Lord, I'm excited for them. It's hard to leave them. But Lord, I know what it is that you want to do here in this place. And so, Lord, I pray by faith. They won't watch things happen. They won't sit around and wonder what happened. But they will, for your honor and for your glory, make things happen that the revival begins today in their life as they embrace change and what it is you have for them. Lord, I pray you'd help them. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray that you'd do a work. It's in your name I ask these things.